Dr. Aaron Thompson grew up on a farm in rural Clay County, one of nine children and the son of an illiterate coal miner and housewife. Thompson was not only a first-generation college student, but a first-generation high school student. Now he leads the state agency that oversees higher education in Kentucky. As the new president of the Council on Post-Secondary Education, Thompson is on a statewide listening tour to gain a fresh perspective on higher education. In this interview, he said there's been a recurring theme.
They're telling us a variety of things. Many feel as if they shouldn't be going to college, or they think they can't afford to go to college, or many feel that they don't understand what they would do if they did go to college. So there's a variety of reasons why people are telling us that they're not getting engaged in the college experience.
You've talked some about growing up as a poor African-American in rural Clay County, and how challenging it was and how the support that you received along the way was important to your success. Talk about how your experience has shaped how you approach higher education.
Oh, yes. I mean, several ways. I was a first-generation high school student, and I had to work in high school and in college. So I approach this from the perspective that not all of us are coming to the table with tons of knowledge about the value of college. That's why I'm calling this putting value back in the value proposition of higher education. I also know that not everybody should have a four-year degree. I mean, what they should have, though, is a post-secondary credential that matters. That could be a one-year certificate, could be a two-year degree, could be a four-year degree, could be a doctorate like I have. What I know is that it counts for us thinking about that from the perspective of how we move from a teaching paradigm to a learner's paradigm, and how we use our advisors and counselors to help our students to line a path toward employment. To have an idea about why college is valuable.
We know that an educated workforce directly impacts economic development in communities. As you just mentioned, not everyone needs a four-year degree, but everyone needs some sort of post-secondary education. How important is it as a state to be creative and develop partnerships between industries and schools?
Absolutely crucial. Let me be clear. We don't have such a thing as a great economic development state unless we have a great education state. And higher education matters here. I can show you all kinds of data whereby a post-secondary credential that matters or above, in fact, gets you to that place of having a great economic development state. So what I do believe is that we have to work together to make that happen. We have to get employers in on the front end to help us to design the programs that they need, that they want, to make sure we have the necessary technical skills as well as the employability skills. Doesn't matter if this is a four-year social science degree or a one-year welding certificate. It matters that we do this together. And it matters that we build a pipeline from great, you know, early childhood process all the way through a great higher education process, that we understand how we can help kids go along that pipeline to get where they need and understand the value when they get there.
The college graduation rate for minority students is nearly 10 points lower than the state average. For low-income students, it's about 12 points lower. Is the state doing enough to not only attract, but support and graduate these students?
You know, we're not doing enough. I just want to be clear about that. I mean, if we have a great educational system, we don't leave anybody behind. And if, in fact, if people are being left behind, then we're going to have to concentrate heavily on how we help those students get to where they need to be. So this is an equity issue, not an equity issue purely from just valuing equity. This is an equity issue when it comes to opportunity that our state needs to understand that if we leave certain people behind, first of all, they are not adding to the coffers of the state. Secondarily, they may end up taken away from the coffers of the state. So it's more than just whether or not it's the right thing to do. In fact, it's an economic imperative as well as it is the right thing to do. And we need to do more. And working with P-12 and our employers, as well as all of our legislators in the governor's office to do this, I think is in fact what I'm called to the table to do.
As college tuition continues to rise in the wake of, you know, lower state funding, what would you say to parents and students who might question whether higher education is still a good investment?
Well, higher education is an investment, but let me be clear about this. We have an issue of affordability I mean, whether it's perceived or real, many students don't know how to pay for college, and thus they don't think they can go. We heard this on our listening tour over and over again. So we've got to do a better job of showing people that they have access to resources. We are a very high student aid state. But we also have a reality of affordability. Many students are helping parents or helping their own family to survive. Many folk don't have the money to complete. So, you know, we're going to have to be concerned about that with rising tuitions and so on. So we got to ask the state to help us out because we've had so many budget cuts. But that's one thing to be concerned. If I was telling a parent, and I have told many parents actually, that let me tell you, without that post-secondary credential, then in fact you're going to be in a situation where you may not ever get out of this cycle of poverty that you find yourself in. And it, because I can show you how post-secondary credential matters as far as the economic gains, indeed, at every level, but also the civic gains. But let me be clear about this, too. Student debt is an issue. But if you borrow money and you get that credential and you get that job that pays well and you can pay that student debt back, in fact, that's an investment. If you get a student debt and don't get the credential, then that's criminal, I think. If you get the student debt and get a credential that doesn't matter, that can't, you can't pay it back, then that's also not good. So we're going to have to help our students early to know the value of a student debt with the credential that they're getting to make sure they don't borrow too much for that, or they know exactly what the opportunities are on the back end that they can pay that off.
So career and financial counseling is very helpful.
Yeah, financial counseling at a very deep level. I mean, I would say let's put it on steroids. Let's really lay it out. If this is a job you want, this is how much money we recommend that you borrow to get there, and this is how we would ask you to think about spending that money you borrow. I mean, so it's more than just financial counseling in many ways. It's financial counseling that goes in much greater detail than probably what we've done before. Now, some institutions do it a little bit better than the others. It's mandated that everybody does it. But my argument is that we're going to have to really be more transparent in the net cost of a degree versus what the sticker price is, and we're going to have to be more transparent and communicative with our parents and students about exactly what it will take you over these amount of years to get that degree, what it will cost, and the recommendation that we offer how you get the money to make it happen.
So Western Kentucky University just completed a major review of academic programs, and those involved in the process recommended that 101 programs be eliminated. Now, many of them had few or no students enrolled in them. The school has said the motivation was to become more efficient and to offer programs more relevant to today's students. But do you expect other universities to do something similar as a cost-saving measure?
Well, yes, absolutely. Bottom line, we're down to the bone. Most of our institutions are looking at all of the items that cost. And we are having to be efficient even more than we've ever been. And we've, over the last few years, we've had to be really efficient. And you've seen a lot of cuts of people as well as programs. But bottom line, you know, we're going to have to re-engineer programs that would help our students to understand how to be very effective in today's jobs. But in addition to jobs that may not exist 10 years from now. So we are going to have to help them to understand how to create those new jobs. And we are going to have to re-engineer many of our programs to do that. If we're doing it the same way we did it 10 years ago, then we're in bad shape. We're going to have to rethink it. But it's also when you think about relevancy and quality and all those other items, we've got to get those people that are employing those students in on the front end to help us to have that conversation. What makes it relevant, right? And so the idea of having faculty and employers working together to have that conversation is exactly the way many of our campuses are starting to think.
Dr. Aaron Thompson, thanks for spending some time with us.
It's my pleasure.
Dr. Thompson is the new president of the Kentucky Council on Postsecondary Education. For WKU Public Radio, I'm Lisa Autry.